Okay. Welcome to the Monday, October 25th, VC Edu Task Force call. And today we're going to review the agenda and then get into the charter and use cases. So IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. Put some links in the chat here. Just ensure that you have a W3 account. And you can read the Community Contributor License Agreement at this link. These minutes and an audio recording of everything that is said on this call are archived here. We use chat and IRC to cue speakers during the call and as well to take minutes. In chat or IRC, we use a queue system, so please use Q+ to add yourself to the queue like this, Q- to remove yourself. If you'd like to make a mention of something that you know you're going to be discussing when you're called in queue, you can say Q+ and then something. So like this, Q+, topic. And once again, Q-, you can remove yourself. And keep in mind that you can always queue yourself again. So we're going to need a scribe. We have a scribe for all of our calls at the CCG, and so we're going to need a volunteer. Would anybody like to volunteer to be our scribe? It does not need to be word for word, just to cover what we're discussing so that when folks are reading the chat in the meeting notes, they can see what we were discussing and reference it. Okay, Phil, I'm going to take you up on that offer. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to try and type in what you have for your name here and see if this registers you as scribe. If not, I will fix it later. Okay, is there anybody new to the call today that would like to introduce themselves? Maybe it's your first time or you've attended before and you haven't introduced yourself yet.
I think maybe Michael Schlemmler from the Hospital Institute in Germany. I've been in these calls, but it's been a while. I'm also in the DCC, the Technical Working Group mostly. Here for the use cases.
Awesome. Thank you, Alexander. Thanks for joining us. Hey, how about reintroductions? Anyone who's here, has been here before, would like to reintroduce themselves?
Yeah, sure. My name's Eric Kuhn. I'm a PM on Microsoft working on decentralized identity. Haven't been here in a while, but reintroducing.
Thank you, Eric. Okay, now for some announcements and reminders. So one is that if you aren't on the VC Edu Task Force mailing list, you can join here at this link. We're going to be using it more and more, so please do join it. We do often cross-post to the CCG mailing list, but this list will have education and training and our group-specific conversations and discussions and topics. Also wanted to let you know that W3C TPAC is currently in progress. You can read about that here. And tomorrow, the CCG chairs, Heather Besson and Michael Prorok, are presenting an update on the CCG, including an update on what we're doing. And they're doing that at the regular CCG meeting time tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific and noon Eastern. And I will put this in case you need the link for that meeting. It's here. Also, later tomorrow, not today, sorry, tomorrow, at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific is the VC API call. And this is the link to their agenda for this week's call. If you're interested in joining that, I think I'll be joining that one tomorrow, too, if I can. Okay, almost there. Getting through a few more here. We, regarding the VC Edu Task Force co-chair's role, I'm going to give you that link. The role is described here. The CCG co-chairs are advising me on the procedure, on how to, procedures for how to move forward with this. A few people have expressed interest so far, and we can have as many as up to 3 co-chairs. So if you are interested, there's still a chance to, get involved here. So please email me at my email address here. I'll type it in at kaylinwhiteconcentricsky.com. And let me know by the end of the week. And then next week, I will give you updates on how we'll move forward with that. We're just going to follow the CCG procedure. Okay, a few more. Gerald O'Donnell and Drummond Reed are hosting a webinar this week on the state of digital wallets. You may be interested in this. I know that I am. It is Wednesday. That's the link to register, October 27th at 10 a.m. Eastern. Also, if you are interested in rich skill descriptors, the Open Skills Network is opening up applications for the Collaborative Pilots Program, and you can learn more about that here. And then I was going to ask Matthias, I'm not sure I'm saying his last name, Gottlieb, mentioned that there is an Etsy name change coming up, and I don't see him here. I was going to ask him to tell us more about that. Maybe I'll reach out and you can tell us more next week. Okay, does anybody have anything they would like to announce, anything I've missed, any comments on anything that's been announced so far? So somehow I put you in the queue really strangely in the chat. So I'm going to remove that and try and fix it later. Okay, great. The currency is topic. All right. Sorry about this. Let me clean this up here. It makes it a lot easier later to do the minutes that this is done right. Okay, great. Okay, so we have two work items or two topics for today's call. One is to finalize the charter and then also review some use cases. So we have been working on this charter for the last couple of weeks. Put it here in the chat view. I'm also going to share my screen so you can see it. Okay, this charter, it has been up for a couple of weeks or a few weeks now at least. We've reviewed it, we've gone through some comments. And I left one comment here because Marty Reed made a great suggestion that I also think we need to address, which is about verifiable presentation. So we added number 10 scope item, which is explore and understand the application of verifiable presentation as it relates to asserting a single VC, multiple individual VCs in a VP, and a multi-assertion VC as a VP. I'm really looking forward to getting into these use cases. It's something I've been thinking about a lot. Thank you for fixing the link, Phil, for OSN. So the only other comments in here that I left is one note from Matthias about Etsy. I'm going to leave here for now because it looks like the name is going to change and we can reference that later. And then Deb has made some note about HR Open Standards that we will get back to once we get in touch with them. So at this point, what I'd like to do is ask anyone if they have any objections to the charter. And what would be great is if you put +1 in the chat If you are good with this charter, and if you object, let me know. Please make a note in the chat. Ready? Plus two. Plus three now.
Bonus points.
Bonus. Excellent. Okay. Well, there we go. We have a charter. I will let the main CCG know. And it is official now. Excellent, everyone. Okay. Next on our list is use cases. This is what, so we're going to be focusing here for a bit. And here's why. We have this document to work on. I'm going to put it up in the screen for you. Bear with me. So we are working on this document. And we got started on it. And, you know, it just hasn't moved forward. And this is what we're working on now. We really want to tie this up. As you can see, it is primarily empty. And what we want it to look like is more like, let me give you the verifiable credentials one. You have this in the link for you. Oh, you have it. We're working towards something like this. So what we're doing right now is gathering as many use cases as we can so we can start stubbing out these various sections. These sections may actually change. What I'm going to do is create a Google Doc where we can work on these sections and start plugging information in. But right now we're working from templates, the template that we sort of adapted from the T3 Innovation Network, which is really going pretty well, I think. And Marty and David Ward and Matt Lyle, you both wrote some really great use cases. And I was wondering if it'd be okay to call on you today to walk through them for us if I present them on the screen. Would that be okay with you?
Sure, that sounds good to me.
Yep, me too.
Awesome, great. David, I have yours queued up first. So why don't we start with yours, the first issue, first aid certificate. Go ahead, take it from here for us.
Okay, this is one that we're not actively working on it, but it's one that based on recent experiences that I've had. And it's not actually that far from what currently is done. So that's one of the reasons why I thought it might be a good case. Basically, in here, it's the first, I broke it into two, so it's the issuer and then verifier after. So the first one is in issuing it that an instructor at a company that does first aid training at the end of the course, the person has passed the course, and now the instructor can fill in a form on the Red Cross website and issue a certificate that has a QR code that can then be used to verify it afterwards. So I'm not sure in terms of walking through, basically there's a set of preconditions that set up just in terms of that all the pieces in place have to exist ahead of time. There's not really anything surprising there.
Actually, Dave, would you mind going through it? I hate to use like line by line or section by section, just sort of elaborating a little bit on each one so that we all sort of get used to filling out these sections. I think it'll be helpful.
Okay.
Don't mind. Maybe starting with the standard. I mean, the verifiable credentials is the obvious one, but could you tell us a little bit more about the QR code?
Yeah. One second, I'm just bringing it up on my machine because it's kind of off-center and jitsy.
Oh, sure. Would you rather share from your screen than have me share?
No, it's on a different machine, actually. So that's no.
Okay.
I've got it up now. So it's not a problem. So yeah, basically verifiable credentials, a QR code, that's a standard that exists. There's lots of readers that can read it. So it's another standard. In terms of the applicable technologies, just looking at a website that can produce a PDF, that's a certificate for somebody, and that we're wanting it to contain a verifiable credential as a QR code as part of the template. So the goal of the primary actor here is that Chris, the instructor, wants to be able to print a validatable certificate in order to provide proof that Pat, the student, is certified in standard first aid. So we've got the instructor, we've got the Red Cross site that prints a certificate, and we have the student passing the first aid course as actors. And then, so in terms of preconditions, Chris is certified to teach the course as an instructor for a company that's a training school. That training school is authorized by the Red Cross to teach and issue certificates for the first aid course. And then, that Red Cross has a website that they have set up that an instructor can go in, enter in the information about a student, and generate a PDF certificate with a verified credential and a QR code within it. And then that a student, Pat, has passed the first aid course. So the flow of events, Chris would have to view Pat's government-issued ID to make sure that it's the right person that is taking the course and would get the certificate. Pat then passes the course, and then Chris would log into the Red Cross website, upload this list of all the students in the that were in that course who had passed the course, and that would include specifically for Pat, Pat's name, the course that's completed, the date the course was completed, and optionally an email address for Pat if Pat had one. And then the website would generate PDF certificates for each of the students, specifically one for Pat that has Pat's name, the name of the course that was completed, the certificate number that would be generated on the Red Cross side, the date it was issued, the date it would expire, and where the certificate was issued. And then it would also include the verifiable credential as a QR code embedded in the certificate. And then Chris could then print that certificate and hand it to Pat, or optionally the PDF could be emailed to Pat, or Pat could log into the Red Cross site directly and download the PDF and print it on his own. Post conditions and success criteria are that Pat has a certificate that proves certification standard first aid until the expiry date on it. And that in this case, there's no business requirements that actually have to change to achieve this result. The only addition is being able to generate that verifiable credential and issue it to Pat. Now, points of failure would be that the Red Cross website isn't available, that the government-issued ID wasn't really looked at, and the certificate was issued in a different name, whether it was misspellings of Pat or whether it was somebody entirely different. And that's pretty much it. I did add some of the discussion points below that came in through email. That's the use case. I'm not sure if you wanted to go into any of this or not at this point.
Would it be okay if I share the link to this so others could read through this discussion?
Yes, definitely. Later?
Is it shareable?
Okay. Yeah, it's the same link that was in the email as well.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. You shared it. So these were some of the questions I had at first. Well, actually, some of this is some of this isn't. But what I was wondering about the DID and how it would be verified, and I know, and I'm going to go back to Clea if she doesn't mind in a moment to ask about the QR code, because I know I've heard of somebody using a similar process for, maybe it was Digital Bazaar. If anyone's familiar with that, you could pop in and correct me here, but I think it was for age verification. Dimitri?
Sure, I'm happy to speak more to the case, but I think Kalia should go first.
Kalia, would you mind speaking to QR code?
Sure. So what I shared a link in the chat to an incomplete paper, but it's nonetheless complete enough to read and get the point, that I started based on correspondence I've had with John Jordan, who's the head of, I don't know, I'll just say he's the head of identity for the province of British Columbia. I'm sure he has a better title than that. He's certainly in their leadership there. And he brought this to our attention as we were working on COVID certificates within the Good Health Pass work and this kind of push to be like, how do we get it on paper? Because digital is so exclusive, as he has pointed out, as a quadriplegic, paper is inaccessible to him, and that, you know, our definition of inclusion needs to be multifaceted. So the issue with QR codes is that the code is the credential. There isn't a differentiation or creation of a verifiable presentation, where the signatures are proved. There's proof that the signatures are there, but not the actual signatures being shared. And that it's, the QR code is the credential. So it's like copyable by anybody and replayable. This is different than physical documents like passports or driver's license, where it's very obvious that there is a copy being presented. If someone tried to copy my passport and present it, it would be like, oh, that's a copy of Kalia's passport, because the original document is quite distinct from what a copy would look like. That right. isn't true with QR codes. Anyways, there's just a bunch of problems with QR codes becoming the norm for verifiable credentials, and those are outlined in this starting point, this starter of a paper.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. It makes a lot of sense, right? When you have your license, or like our driver's license, at least in the States, there's a way to tell that you can't really, I mean, honestly, to reveal all, when I was in college, I had a fake ID and it worked, but it was actually somebody else's license. So, I wasn't really using a fake ID. It's really hard to fake an official government document in that way. And the QR code, could be, very easily copied. There's no way to tell whose it is, really. I could have Clea's QR code, walk around with it, and present it as mine.
Right. And every time you present the QR code, it is the credential. Like, there isn't this generation of a credential for a particular verifier in a particular point in time, which is what happens with the digital version with verifiable presentation. So, there's also this risk that John named, which is that at least in terms of these vaccine certificates that are signed by the government, it's like government signed identity information. And that's just now potentially creates identity theft risk, at least in our current state where knowing information can become the information. That's, so there's just a bunch of risks with it. And I think that we worked really hard as a community to build out functionality and protections based on digital to digital interaction. And we never designed this for QR code presentation. and the risks that that presents. So I just caution us moving down a kind of starry-eyed QR code route.
Sure. Thank you for filling us in on this and bringing this up. It's interesting because in education, we talk a lot about how to bridge to the existing credentials and what is happening now and how to also move it forward and also to make it accessible. And, and I'm sure, you know, the accessibility to all of those topics are probably, you know, across ecosystems, not just specific to education and training, but it comes up a lot. So David, I appreciate that you brought this up in this use case so we can just continue the conversations about it. Dimitri?
Sure. Yeah, so I have a couple of thoughts on, so big plus one to what Kalia said. I do think verifiable credentials and QR codes can be used together and can be very useful in some cases. But just like Kalia mentioned and like the paper talks about, one definitely needs to go in and be very painfully aware of both the limitations of the QR codes and, of course, ways it could be misused. So I pasted two links in the chat here. One was an IAW session that I led at this past IAW about QR codes for wallets, talking about some of those limitations and some of the problems, specifically using QR codes, not just for credentials, but specifically for digital credential wallets. And for those who are new or who don't remember, I'm also working with MIT's Digital Credential Consortium, a project that is developing an open source education-focused digital wallet for students. That's going to be released as a mobile app in iOS and Android, but is also open source. This is the important bit. And it uses QR codes for a couple of things. To get credentials into the wallet, and then later on in the roadmap, to present the credentials, to get them out of the wallet. But I want to say a couple more things. One is, so it's really important to consider that there's essentially two types of QR codes. There is a QR code where you stuff the entire credential into it, which is the one that the paper talks about and all those good points that Kalia brought up. And then there is a QR code that just has a URL, possibly to a credential, but more importantly, a URL that starts the presentation or the issue flow. And that has trade-offs. It's not as useful in the offline use case like QR codes could be. It does require an internet connection because it just sets up an interactive flow, but it does address some of the static versus interactive problems. So as always in engineering, trade-offs. The other thing that I wanted to mention since Gary asked about Digital Bazaar's work on age verification. So another one of the hats that I wear is I'm a coordinator of this True Age project, which is exactly that. It is in the U.S., there's this organization called NACS, National Association of Convenience Stores. So it's a bunch of grocery stores and gas stations and convenience stores and all that. And they have a use case, which is preventing underage purchases of cigarettes and alcohol and other age-restricted goods. And they're using verifiable credentials to solve that. And one of the components of the phase two of that program does use QR codes. But again, and this goes back to the point that I was mentioning earlier, it's really important to note the limitations. The use of QR codes with that program pairs with encrypted driver's licenses, photo IDs, and a fairly sophisticated background fraud detection heuristics. So bare static QR codes, probably not a good idea, but there are ways to mitigate some of the downsides. Thank you.
Thanks, Dimitri. Thanks, Dimitri. David?
Yeah, I'll just add on in terms of the QR codes that in this case, there would be nothing in the QR code that doesn't already exist printed on the certificate. And so while there are limitations to QR codes in many of the ways that we're looking at it, we, especially for things like this, we really need to find a way to transfer verifiable credentials and present them for people that don't have wallets or digital phones, which is, in this case, it would be quite common. Somebody that is just a construction worker. I know several people that don't have smartphones, and so we need to make sure that that type of thing is possible. In this case, the only difference right now in this use case is that the QR code that's printed on certificate is the verifiable credential itself instead of a link to be able to verify the certificate.
Thanks, Evan. In our discussion about the Silver and the mailing list, you were talking about how this would be paired with a government ID. So do you think in some ways, you know, the QR code could be presented alongside a physical ID or something like that?
Yeah, that's the intent. They're very similar to how the COVID credential is done in BC as well. That it has the name embedded, but that's the only ID of any sort. In the verify.
Okay, thank you. Matthias?
Yes, could you hear me?
Hello? Yes. Yeah, no. We can hear you.
Perfect. Thank you very much. We are at the DBHO project, and we are looking for use cases also for EPSI standards and also from the DCC. And we could support you with use cases because we have done a lot of use cases in the last months, but we weren't sure until what date you need it, because if you need it today, it's very sporty.
Carrie, are you there?
I don't know.
Yes,
I'm here.
Sorry. I'm here. Sorry about that. I was muted. Of course. Thank you, Matthias.
Matthias, can you just clarify? You made a comment that the issue associated with the date of the credential presents a problem?
No. It's not the date. It's the deadline when you need the use cases, because we have done a lot of use cases in the area of verifiable credentials, also based on the EPSI standards in Europe in our project, where you have a look at the German Academic Exchange program, where you have all these issues we have in Germany, in Europe, and stuff like that. So we can support you with the use cases. They're in kinds of more precise, and sometimes they add some new parts to the use cases. And we just want to know from the project side, until what deadline do you need the use cases?
Oh, thank you. I mean, there's no deadline right now. We are trying to get this done this quarter before the end of the year. The sooner we can analyze them. Mm-hmm. So we're working on them currently. So if you have them and you can send them on while you're working on them, that would be outstanding.
Okay. Then I will tell the group that they should do it until November, end of November.
That'll be perfect. Awesome. Because we'll start working on the use case document pretty soon, like this week or so, we'll create the Google Doc and start working on it. But if they could send them to the mailing list, do you have our mailing list? Are you on it?
Yes, we can send it to the mailing list. Otherwise, we would put it into the GitLab. There was a GitLab for the VOC use cases I have seen.
Yes, there is. I will find that too. The template is a little bit different in there, but that's fine if you want to use that. Because if you have follow-up questions, at least they'll be there and your contact info will be there.
Awesome. All right,
thank you very much. Appreciate that. You know, and actually, we're going to move on to the next use case, but while we have you here really quick, in the charter document, Matthias, you had noted that the name was going to be changing for Etsy. Could you tell us a little bit about that real quick? Matthias, are you muted now too? Or did you not hear that question? Okay. I'm going to move on to into the queue here. Okay, Eric, you're next in the queue.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Cool. So I haven't been on this call for a little while, but I just wanted to point out that it sounds to me like the discussion of use cases and QR codes are somewhat commingled. I look at the QR code, like the issuance and presentation flows, to be around how do you do interoperability of VCs, like regardless of the use case. And there's some work that's being done. From my understanding, like the WACI or the DIF working group, maybe claims and credentials, working item of WACI. And the way I look at that is, you know, there's a set of, you know, there's a set of standards that everybody uses in order to facilitate these presentations and issuance flows. Like, for example, at Microsoft, we use roughly 8 different standards kind of all paired together. And that can facilitate any use case. Could be VC, could be education, could be government ID, could be, you know, whatever, workplace credentials. And then there's the topic of, you know, what VC use cases are specifically for EDU. And the way I look at that is just, it's, you know, roughly what schemas are you going to be using and implementing into a VC, and then describing, you know, what are those sort of issuance flows. So I'm kind of confused on the, why they're being put together. Maybe there's something that I'm missing. But I wanted to kind of tackle that, because my biggest question is just, are we taking the schema of open badges and putting this into a VC, and then everybody figures out interoperability on their own? Or is there some sort of more broader detailed vision around how that would work?
Yeah, Eric, that's a great question. So what we're trying to do is to develop the use cases that describe how the existing open standards might align with verifiable credentials and the other exchange processes going in there. So we're not looking to change how the other task force and the main group are looking to exchange verifiable credentials. We're looking to provide the use cases and the specifics of the use cases to help with the alignment of those standards to verifiable credentials. And for instance, we find that we've been running into interesting gotchas in education that others have not hit before. So we're just trying to capture as many of those stories as we can so that we can address them. We have a model doc that we are going to be working on that has already been started, but we've changed the scope of that modeling doc to be direct alignment to verifiable credentials. And right now at IMS Global, both open badges and the comprehensive learning record specifications are planning on doing direct alignment with verifiable credentials. So that'll be in the modeling document, and there are others that may be too. So we'll probably be addressing the use cases that fit those specifications first. And others can chime in here too, but I think that part of this is also so that we are sort of educating the ecosystem and the community about the use cases and why we're aligning with verifiable credentials. So it sort of takes those, has those two reasons for it. I'm going to add Phil. Phil, can you go?
I'll just add into that. One of the things that we're sort of discovering as we go is in the education case, things that we think of as verifiable credentials are used in a more transactional process or for the recording formative data towards various achievements within a program that ultimately generates a credential at its conclusion. And so I think one of the things, Carrie, you were emphasizing is that we're just trying to disaggregate uses of a credential for purposes other than issuance of an acknowledged completion of something from other types of utilizations that data models that have been developed for nominally credentials are being put towards. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. I could add to that also, we have some use cases we haven't discussed yet in this group that have to do with verifiable presentations. And Marty Reed from Renda just added this to the scope, because we have a lot of questions in education and we have a lot of circumstances in education about verifiable presentations, especially when you get to transcripts and multiple issuers and signatories of different credentials that make it very distinct from other use cases. That in verifiable credential, or could be anyway. So we're doing that exploration now so that we can produce these use cases and then see if we can address them. Okay, so I don't think we're gonna get to Matt's use cases today. I'm looking at the time, so maybe we can finish up this first aid certificate use case. And then, Matt, if you're okay with this, we'll pick up yours next week. David, you want to walk us through this one? Close this.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this is the verifying side of the two use cases. So this is a first aid certificate is being used as a proof of the qualification. The description here, as an employee, I want to be able to provide my employer with proof that I'm certified for a specific course or qualification in this case. There's a standard in Canada, CSA standard Z1210-17, which is an occupational first aid qualification that needs to be met by anybody that's acting as a first aid attendant in the workplace. And so here the employee wants to show that they meet that requirement. So the standards, again, the verifiable credentials, the QR code, and that workplace first aid standard. Applicable technology on this side is the HR system at the company. It understands and can verify the verifiable credentials and a QR code scanning system that's linked with that. So the goal of the primary actor here is Pat wants to be able to be tasked with the additional work role in order to get a raise. The actors, we've got the employee Pat, this Pat supervisor Sam, and their employer, the QR code scanning software that's linked to the HR system, which can understand the QR code as a verifiable credential. Preconditions in this case, Pat has received a first aid certificate with a verifiable credential as a QR code. Pat's an employee of Construction Now Corp here. That company is looking for the additional first aid attendant at a job site. The company's HR system knows that the Red Cross standard first aid meets the CSA standard Z1210-17 requirement, that the company's HR system can recognize Red Cross as an authority for first aid qualifications, and that the HR system can understand the verifiable credentials and verify if one was issued by the Red Cross. So the flow of events here is Pat requests the additional work role as the first aid attendant. Pat's supervisor, Sam, asks for proof of the adequate certification. So Pat presents the paper certificate that was issued in the previous use case, showing that the standard first aid qualification is held. Sam would then scan the QR code with the smartphone app, and the verifiable credential would be sent to the company's HR system. The HR system would verify that the verifiable credential was issued by the Red Cross, wasn't tampered with, and was issued to Pat. The HR system would add the verifiable credential to Pat's employee record, would update the employee record to indicate qualifications that meet the workplace first aid standard along with the expiry date. And then Sam would add the work role of the first aid attendant to Pat's employee record in the HR system, which means the HR system would then update Pat's salary for the additional work role. Post conditions success criteria is that Pat is tasked with the additional work role and gets the raise. It reduces manual steps, as one no longer has to make a photocopy of the certificate, manually validate the certificate of the Red Cross at the Red Cross's website, manually check that the certification is meets the workplace first aid qualifications, and manually entering the certification in the system. Now, this has more failure points than the other case does, whereas, like, Pat has lost a first aid certificate, the smartphone app can't scan the QR code, the HR system can't verify the verifiable credential, that the HR system doesn't recognize the certification meets required qualifications, and that Pat's name in the verifiable credential doesn't match exactly what the name in the HR system is.
Thanks, David. Those are some great points of failure. When we discussed this in the email list, we had talked about how this potentially could be a use case for an open badge because it is a single achievement that could be described. Does that still make sense to you?
Yes, it definitely. The one thing about open badges, like right now, depending upon how things get aligned, is whether or not it will actually require an ID, like current open badges versus the verifiable credentials, or how we deal with that in this type of case.
Right. So open badges has a recipient identity. And in 2.0, in previous versions, that was always an email address. In 2.0, they added a URL and a telephone number, which I don't think the telephone number is not being used very much. The URL pretty limited. It's the email address that's been the primary identifier, which isn't very reliable as an identifier. And then in 3.0, we're looking at URIs. We're looking to follow the verifiable credential standard. Awesome. Thank you very much, David. I appreciate you presenting these and writing these up. It's very helpful. Does anybody have any sort of questions and comments or want to discuss this any further? Okay. Next week, what we'll do is we will go over Matt's use cases. I have made some changes to the one that I've been working on that I can go over. And if anybody else wants to bring theirs, feel free to share with the mailing list or also send to me and we can bring to the group next week. So I think that covers it for today, unless anyone has anything else. Phil is our scribe and P1, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Just a clarification, does this last use case, is it subject to the same cautions about QR codes as the prior one?
I would assume so, yes.
Okay, just wanted to verify. Thanks.
Yeah, sure, thank you. Hey, everyone. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Be safe out there.